Amen. Father, we are so grateful to be here in your house today and to capture the essence of what it means to really believe in Jesus and to live out the residual of having a relationship with Christ. Lord, you just mean everything to us. We are so grateful today, and we pray that as we finish up our time together in Proverbs, that it'll just become crystal clear what happens for the person who pursues God, who pursues wisdom, who wants to know what it's really all about. Lord, let us be that kind of person. Let that those kinds of people, the kind of people that truly, truly know deeply what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. We love you and praise you. Give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to finish up in Proverbs today, and so if you want to get started looking with me in the Bible, Proverbs 17:22 is going to be our first passage that we're going to be looking at. I'd like to point out, though, that Joy Goines is on her way back to school. Yeah, this your last week with us? Okay. And anybody else going off to university somewhere away from Las Vegas? Just raise your hand real high. Anybody else? Okay, I think it's just Joy. So, Joy, just wave at everybody. She's right down here going to Vanguard University. Yeah. Lord, be with Joy. Give her a great year at Vanguard. Use her in powerful ways, and don't let anybody break her track records. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of the message today is Wisdom's Source and Goal. There have been 8 primary purposes that we've looked at in the book of Proverbs these 8 weeks throughout the summer. We looked at how to know wisdom and discernment, how to actually understand these words of understanding, how to receive correction resulting in prudent behavior, how to learn how to do exactly what is right and just and fair, to give prudence to those who are simple, to give knowledge and discretion to the young, to let the wise man add to his learning, and today, to let the discerning get guidance. Now, don't ever forget when you see the word guidance. Always remember, G stands for God. You and I dance. I love that. Guidance. God, you and I dance. And that's exactly what happens as you're growing in Christ. He's giving you guidance. You're learning to dance along with Him. And one of the great promises of Proverbs that is going to help us down the path that God wants us to take is found in Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. It's a great verse. We've all heard it before. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. What this verse is talking about, and one of the full blessings of becoming a person who grasps a hold of wisdom, is that you will have this very deep, wonderful, abiding joy. So that's the first thing I want to look at today. Now, Solomon could have said that a rejoicing spirit is good medicine, but a broken heart dries up the bones. He could have alternated those two. They're very interchangeable, the heart and the spirit. And that would actually be closer to how we speak. Well, my spirit's rejoicing today, but my heart is breaking. Those kinds of things are what we're looking at in the scriptures today. And this is so much deeper than cheerfulness. NIV translation, cheerfulness, or some translations are happy. And it's so much deeper. It's a cheer-filled rejoicing. It's not just this earthly human happiness, but It's a deep spiritual joy that comes from being in relationship with the living God. Solomon was raised in a home that exuded the joy of Yahweh God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. This is the kind of stuff that he heard out of his dad's mouth on a daily basis. And Isaiah said it in such a beautiful way in Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, let the redeemed of the Lord return with singing and joy in their hearts. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And that's the essence. That's what happens for people that are grasping a hold of the blessings of wisdom. They're overwhelmed, overtaken with gladness and joy. It's like something that you can't even get away from. You can't hold back gladness and joy when you're a person pursuing wisdom. Solomon was reaching back into this great childhood, and he had these wonderful memories, and it was so much more than human happiness. Human happiness is as fleeting as fog. There isn't enough time for it to heal our soul. It takes joy derived from the intimacy of knowing Jesus to do that. Do you need your soul healed today? Then grasp a hold of the joy that is yours simply because you're involved in relationship. This indescribable joy comes from knowing Jesus. That's what makes our hearts and our souls well. That's better than any medicine. This joy is unshakable. It's not based on circumstance. It's based on intimacy with Christ. The tougher the trial that you're experiencing today, the sweeter the joy of his comfort. The comfort of the joy that is ours because we're related to Jesus, because now he's our intimate goal, because now if we're ever going to have victory, it's going to be because he's our source, he's our joy, he's our goal. And when that starts happening, what takes place? This incredible remembrance that this is not my home, this is not the final destination. So when you go through some garbagey kind of stuff, this isn't my home. This is not where it all ends. Heaven is my home. Spending time eternally with Jesus is where I'm headed. That's what brings joy to my heart. When I understand that one day soon I'm going to be given an immortal body that will be able to worship Jesus throughout the ages. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That, my friends, is going to happen for every one of us. And when you start dwelling on stuff like that, that brings great joy, deep down contentment that lasts and persists through the darkest night that you've ever had to experience. By contrast, a broken spirit drains the body of even the life that it has. It will dry up your very bones. It's completely unbearable to have a broken spirit. It's a place devoid of hope. It's a place devoid of joy. All of us will at one time or another have our hearts broken. The only thing that we have is hope. At times like that, when you're experiencing a broken heart, the only thing you have is joy. It's so important to understand that when you're going through that dark trial, knowing that your hope and your joy is in Jesus is what's going to not only sustain you, but it's going to bring you back to being well. Because why? Because a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Couple of quotes I want to give you before we leave this point, Charles Spurgeon said, it's not how much you have, but how much you enjoy that makes happiness. And I think we're all very well aware of that. It's not how much you have, but it's how much you enjoy of what you have that brings this cheerfulness and this joy. Oscar Wilde said it this way, some cause happiness wherever they go, others whenever they go. Which one are you? All right, next verse I want to look at, Proverbs 21:31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, victory rests with the Lord. Solomon had 40,000 horses, 12,000 in his cavalry that were taking care of those horses. It took a lot of money. The people were warned, if you want a king, he's going to take your money, he's going to take your land, and that's exactly what was happening. Solomon was outfitting his army and preparing them for battle, and he had all of these horses, he had all of this strength. That's what I want you to picture today. Picture the strength of this scene. These horses prepared for the battle. And right in the middle of the proverb that the horse is made ready, then right there in the original language, there's this. And I don't, English can't translate it, so the only way I know how to do it, now hold on, because I'm hoping to just throw a little shock factor in there, but right in the middle of this verse, boom! Okay, sorry. I tried to warn you. I was going to do that. That's what this is like. The horse is made ready for the day of battle. But victory rests with the Lord. I mean, it's just this overwhelming Hebrew expression that, oh my goodness. I mean, cue up the song. We are the champions. We are going to be delivered. We are going to live life to the fullest. Why? Because we have our victory and our rest in Jehovah God. Hallelujah. He is so amazing. So what this verse is saying is the second point I want to drive home today, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we all know that, but we forget sometimes when we're right in the midst of our own battle. Whatever you're facing today, the battle belongs to the Lord. The crescendo comes because this is where all of life culminates. Yahweh, God, is both the source and the goal of our victory. Regardless of the number of horses or how well we prepare our horses or how well fed they are, or how well trained the riders are, that's not what determines the outcome of the battle. You know how many times Israel was way outnumbered, but they were humble and they sought the Lord and they went to Him. And what happened? The Lord brought about a great victory. Other times, Israel greatly outmanned and could outgun the enemy. But because of their pride and their arrogance and their self-reliance and their defiance, what happened? Even though they could have and should have easily won that battle, they lost. And friends, it's still the same way today. Against overwhelming odds, He is our source and our goal. He is the one who is going to bring about the victory in our lives. He is where we find our rest. The source of every victory that Israel ever had, the source of every victory you'll ever have, is Yahweh, is the Lord our God. But more than that, He's the one to whom we dedicate the victory. Every time something good happens in our lives, we give praise to God. The next time somebody gives you a compliment because of something good you've done, or perhaps the giftedness that God's given you, you utilized it for His glory, and somebody noticed and they give you a compliment, don't brush it off. Don't push it away. Nah. Just receive it and say, thank you so much. And then before the day ends, give that where it belongs. Absolutely every victory we dedicate to the Lord, because He is the first and the last. He's the cause and the effect. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and He is the end. And friends, you're serving the God who is everything else in between. The root of the word translated victory is the same word that we get Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. That's His name, and it means to rescue, to deliver. It means salvation. We can take that personal today. Our salvation comes from the Lord, our deliverance, our rescue. And this word comes from the idea in Hebrew of being wide. So this person receiving victory in the Lord is becoming wide. There's enough room for movement in this person's life. Movement from distress to freedom, from constraint to opportunity, from death to life. That's the constant movement that takes place for a person whose victory rests in the Lord. And so, again, in the original language, the emphasis of this word is, if the emphasis is on the end result, then the idea is leading us towards victory and salvation. However, if the emphasis is simply on the movement towards the end result, then the idea is deliverance and rescue. And friends, when you put all of that together, so our lives, those of us who are not trusting in our own strength, the strength of the horse, those that are totally trusting in His strength and relying on Him, and our victory rests in Him, those of us who live like that, on the journey, He's going to show up at certain times and bring deliverance and rescue. But remember, the end result is that your life is going to be a life of complete victory, because Jesus Christ is your Savior. Because He provides the salvation in your life. Beautiful, wonderful, powerful words. All of this today, these are the blessings of wisdom. He is the source and He is the goal. Wisdom's source and wisdom's goal. A.W. Tozer said, if you believe that there is fruit that you should bear and you do not, victory you know you should have and have not, then I say, come on, for God has something for you. You're a prime candidate today. If you're down, if you're weary, if you're depressed, if your heart is aching, come to God today. Pursue a life of wisdom. Let the discerning be the ones who get guidance, who learn to dance with God. Beautiful, wonderful, powerful blessings of wisdom. The third one today, Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord and He will deliver you. So the third point today, when you're a person on this journey and you're pursuing God and you're learning to put Him first, joy will be one of the first evidences that you're on the right pathway, and then the battle belonging to the Lord. And now you can get into this sweet spot in God to where you don't have to fight any enemies anymore. There's no revenge for the person who's finding the full blessings of wisdom. We, according to this verse of Scripture, we who believe in Jesus Christ, who are followers of Jehovah God, we are prohibited from saying, I'll get you for that. You can't even say that anymore, because it's not the action that this verse is warning us about, but it's the threat. We can't even hope for bad things to happen to those who have treated us poorly. All right, anybody want to confess? You done that recently? I mean, I know, I'm a human. praying honestly that you want something bad to happen to someone else, what is that? I mean, that's human nature. That's okay. If, as long as you realize it's simply revealing the wickedness that resides inside your own heart. That's what needs to happen. Like, Lord, this guy bugs me so much. Can't you do something about it? Can't you take care of him? And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shines that light back on the inside and you're going, oh man, my heart sure is ugly. I need to do something about that. Revenge has become big box office money in the last 60 years. Remember the days? Any of y'all old enough to remember? I mean, you know, Vic and I, we talk about this all the time. They can't make a new movie. They have to go back and do something old. So Superman and the Lone Ranger, you know, and the stuff, heroes when we were kids, man, they're all coming back. But back in the day when they were introduced, you know, Superman and the Lone Ranger, they would just arrest one guy, the bad guy, or they would actually have to kill just one person. But that was back in the 50s and 60s. And then in the 70s, there's this Academy Award-winning movie that came out, The French Connection and Dirty Harry. And now what's happening is there's justice being taken into their own hands, vigilante justice. And then the 80s, Rambo comes along and he kills everybody, including cops and soldiers. And then from there, look where we've gone. We've just morphed into this society of violence, where it's just, and I'm not saying it's all the movies, but I don't know if, you know, life reflects art or art reflects life. I don't know which is the chicken or which is the egg, but it's all tied together to bring us to where we are today, to where it's very easy, even as a believer, to think, you know what, that person did something to me and I'm going to get even. And that's not acceptable thinking for believers in Jesus Christ. Don't get sucked in to the mass mind. There's just no revenge. Wisdom says don't even think about it. The second clause of this proverb opens with the word wait. 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 Wait for the Lord, and He will deliver you. Wait carries no anxiety whatsoever. There's no wringing of the hands for a waiter. There's no pacing of the floor for someone who waits, because wait is the same word for hope. When we wait, we expect God to show up and accomplish His will. Heaven and earth, my friends, heaven and earth will pass away before your God doesn't show up to avenge you. And leave it with Him. I mean, when you leave here today, check around the valley, see if the mountains are still there. If the mountains are still there, then you know that your God is going to show up on your behalf. If the sun rises, if it sets this afternoon, if it rises in the morning, then please take it to the bank. If you see any stars in the heavens tonight, know that you, as a believer in Christ, are on the pathway, when you leave it with Him, to seeing Him avenge you for whatever it was that has happened in your life. Isaiah 40, 31, great powerful passage that we all know and love. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yahweh, God, will save you. Now notice this. This is very interesting, because some of the translations almost give you the idea that God's going to get that other person for what they did to you. And that's not exactly what it's saying in the original language. He doesn't say He will get the other guy. He simply says that He's going to save, deliver, and rescue you. And that's what we look for. That's what we long for. That's what God has promised. That's the blessing of being a person who's pursuing wisdom. Again, A.W. Tozer, he says, God never hurries. There are no deadlines against which He must work. Only to know this is to quiet our spirits
and relax our nerves. Marcus Aurelius said, "The best revenge is to be unlike him who performed the injury." And I like this one. It shows you where my heart is. Mary Higgins Clark, great author of mystery novels, says, "When someone's mean to me, I just make them a victim in my next book." All right, let's move quickly. Proverbs 21:21. "He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." There may not be another more wonderful promise in the entire Word of God. I mean, this verse is right up there with "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you will prosper." I mean, all of those great verses that we know, you know, that's Matthew 6:33, Philippians 4:19, 1 John 4:4, Isaiah 54:17. Why don't people quote Proverbs 21:21 anymore? I think because it's one of the great proverbs, and it just gets sort of lost in its obscurity in the middle of this book. But friends, go put this on your refrigerator this afternoon. Proverbs 21:21, "He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." This is a continual pursuit. That's the way this is written in the Hebrew, a continual, all-consuming pursuit. Listen, would you rather be pursued, would you rather pursue a great blessing or have something even more wonderful than a blessing pursuing you? That's the way this scripture is written. That he goes back, Solomon remembers his dad pinning the wonderful words to Psalm 23 when he says, "Surely goodness and mercy are going to pursue you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Solomon picks up this theme in 21:21, and he's spelling out for us that the consistent pursuer of God has tireless goodness that's going to be chasing after them. This is marvelous, friends. This is a total different perspective. Goodness and loving kindness will hunt you down and overwhelm your life if you are pursuing loving kindness and righteousness with that same unswerving commitment. It's a twofold pursuit. It's a personal moral purity, and it's rightly related with God and man. If you're this kind of person who goes about extending grace and mercy and kindness to everyone you meet, then friends, you're going to find what you've been looking for. You're going to find life. You're going to find prosperity and something heavy like glory and honor. It's symbolic of having weight, of having renown, of having importance with God. Do you get that today? That you have importance with God. You have renown with God. There's something weighty here. This is what we're all hunting for. And the beautiful thing about this scripture, it turns it around and says, as you pursue him consistently, that stuff's going to come hunting for you. You won't be able to get away from the goodness of God. In the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis writes it this way. Of course, you know that was a book where the enemy is trying to train his little imps. And so the enemy says to the imps about God, "He cannot tempt to virtue as we do to vice. He wants them to learn to walk and must, therefore, take away his hand. If only the will to walk is really there, he is pleased with their stumbles." Don't you know that's good news for us? Because in our consistent pursuit, we do live in a fallen world, and sometimes we stumble and fall. But if you have the kind of heart, and God knows that heart, And friends, I'm telling you, goodness and mercy are going to pursue you. They're going to follow you all the days of your life. All right, let's finish with Proverbs 31, the very last two verses of the book of Proverbs. And I'm finishing my series on Proverbs. And just for $39.95, you can buy all 8 tapes. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have that. Proverbs 31, 30 and 31. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. This person, this woman being personified in Proverbs 31, is a person who is in perpetual awe of Yahweh. Her goal in life is not to be charming or pretty. She understands that stuff is fleeting and vain. That stuff passes away over time. Not only does it fade, but it's completely empty. So she, as someone very wise, is pursuing the virtues that matter, virtues that are weighty, that have substance, virtues like goodness, loving kindness, mercy, and compassion. The person who combines goodness, loving kindness, mercy, and compassion with the fear of Yahweh, are you kidding me? The person who embodies this sense of worship, reverence, and awe of the living God, which translates into righteous living and loyal loving kindness, this is the person who will be praised at the city gates. This is the person they're going to talk about at City Hall. And I'm asking the question today, is that the kind of person you are? It is if you have this heart that says all of the above. I want to be that person of joy. I know the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm not out to get revenge anymore. I am absolutely a person who continually pursues my walk, my relationship with God. There's nothing else on earth that matters like that matters. And I perpetually stand in awe of the living God. I fear the Lord, my God. I worship in reverence and awe every moment of every day. Friends, what other book ends with a summons for all of creation to offer praise to the woman or to the person who is faithful to Yahweh God? I want to be that kind of person. We tried to, on our creative team this week, capture that in the following artful dance. Watch this, and we'll close.
Bow your heads. Father, we're just people on a journey here today. And every one of us want to grab hold of this. We've completed our tour of Proverbs. We understand that fearing you is where wisdom really begins. We pray that your wisdom will work its way into our business, into our education. It'll work its way out through compassion. It will result in blessing and fulfillment. Pray, oh God, that we will not be lazy and insensitive to you and greedy. Pray that we will not be a simple person, or if we are, that we'll learn the call of wisdom, become wise, and be blessed. We will not listen to the voice of folly, pursue men with their shameless cry to turn away from what is right and true, seek a life of pleasure, easy money, and selfishness. We know you, Jesus. We know you. People may come and try to beat us down, and we'll just ooze you. People may try to find life in beauty and charm, and at that place of emptiness, we'll be there to show them the straight and the narrow path that honors you, that results in honor for us. And we want, oh God, to take this marvelous message and spread it far and wide. We want it to go through Todd and Ashley and their kids into the area of the world that you've called them to, Lord. We want to see this marvelous message shared all over with our family and with our friends and with our neighbors and our co-workers, with the people we rub shoulders with, and all around the world. We must express this eternal life and the full blessings that await the person who will be willing to pursue the living God. And if there's anyone here today, Lord, just hasn't gotten it straightened out yet, I believe with a message like this, that their hearts, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the strength of horses, but by the power and the anointing of your Spirit, there's a wooing, there's a drawing, there's an unction deep inside of us. Oh God, I want to know you. I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. And I won't be able to help myself. I won't be able to even run or get away from your goodness and your loving kindness, because it's going to pursue me. Because I have determined in my heart that I'm going to be someone who pursues you. God, give us depth of character, grace to run the race, strength not to conform to our culture and our society, but to be different, to stand out, to not only proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, but with great compassion to come alongside people who are needy and to meet those needs first and then share the love of Christ with them. Let us continue to do that on this campus, Lord, through our after-school program, through our medical clinic for people with no insurance, through our food bank, through the various ways that you've given us, Lord, to reach out now through our charter school. God, let us just blast, boom, this victory, this hope, this assurance, this life that is ours in Jesus Christ. Stand with me, please. As we exit today,